Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ghoul Society.
That's my big sister, Jamie.
And that's my little sister, Sarah. Oh, I meant to say, this is a late night Ghoul Society, so buckle up. We are grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples, whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society.
Yeah.
We actually just did it. Instead of being like blah, 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 and then doing the intro.
Oh, we did good.
We went right into it.
We did good.
Because it's late night.
Late night Ghoul Society.
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
And I think...
I had a good day today.
Oh.
It was a great day. I had nothing bad happen, knock on wood. The day's not over.
She just made her hand into a fist and then tapped on her own forehead.
Yeah, that's what you do.
She said knock on wood.
That's what people do.
I usually knock on real wood.
There. Because the day's not over. But I had a great day.
Yay!
I usually don't work Fridays, but I did. And it was fine.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I painted. I listened to The Witch House. Which I mentioned in the previous podcast. Yep. Podcast, yes. Previous podcast. Episode.
Welcome to the new podcast.
This is the new podcast? That was the old podcast.
Oh, I still haven't listened to any Garrett.
Me neither.
Or Andrew's podcast. Oh. COVID podcast.
Thank you for reminding me of that. Maybe that's what I listen to next week.
I probably didn't remember because they only did it during COVID, so there's a finite amount of episodes.
Yeah. They're probably funny, though.
They're probably really fucking funny.
They're probably so dumb.
I love them.
I love them, too.
I want to be Garrett's friend.
Me, too. Shout out Garrett Watts and Andrew
Zwicky.
Yeah, we love you both.
We love you, and I love grapes, and please make more music.
Yes.
Make an album. Make a whole album.
Come on.
I would die. My top album on my Spotify Wrapped for like so long, probably, because Grapes is always in my top 10.
Yeah.
For like the past 3 years.
Yeah.
It's just too good. Or 2 years, whenever it came out.
Amazing.
I'm obsessed.
I know, it's so good. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays or not.
Or not.
That's not what you do.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Happy December.
Happy December.
Happy end of the year.
It's getting cold here.
Yeah. The people upstairs are there.
Sounds like my landlady is home. She's great.
Yeah.
God damn, I love her so fucking much. She's amazing. She texted me and she was like, hi, are you home? And I was like, yeah, I'm home. Is everything okay? And she was like, can you go check if I turned my oven off? And also, can you taste the cookies that I made? And I was like, yes, I got you, girl. And she did turn off the oven.
Oh.
She's an ADHD queen as well. So, you know, we love it.
Mom's present came in. I forgot to text you.
To what? To who? Which one? Oh, good. Amazing. Yeah. Wait, she's going to hear this.
Won't this come out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I'll bleep it. I'll edit it out. Mom bleep. Doesn't listen.
Oh.
I don't think she listens.
Hmm.
Mom, are you listening?
Mom. She's listened to a couple episodes.
Yeah, but I don't think she listens to all of them.
Like, no, just dad. Like, Hi, Dad. We love that you listen to every single episode, even though you text us at 10 p.m.
Why on isn't Sunday it not night. On? Is it out yet? Why is it not on YouTube? Sorry, Dad. It's an extra step that I forget that I have to make it
every
public on YouTube.
Every damn time.
Every fucking week. I forget. I'm sorry, Dad.
Yeah, it's okay.
There's other people who listen on YouTube.
Yeah, like four other people.
Like four, yeah.
Because the rest of them just click out about 30 seconds yeah, in. They, by like, now, listen they're not to the listening.
Intro and they're like, ew. They're like, ew.
Absolutely not. Like, cannot handle this.
Yeah.
Just a nightmare.
That's okay. Anyway, yeah. Are the other things coming soon, or what's going on with that?
I don't know.
Do you not track your packages, like, all the time?
I do, but then one of them was like, lol, hashtag Canada Post strike, and I was like, oh.
One of the ones that we got?
No.
Oh, who's it for?
For Bristol. Oh. And one of my gifts from Mom.
Oh, what did you get her?
No, from Mom to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
I wonder what she got. Well, I wonder what she ordered you.
I know, because I ordered it.
Oh, what did you get yourself?
It's the same thing I got Bristol. And fuck. They are fully reflective cycling vests. Oh,
that was your Christmas present?
Yeah.
Mom's gone all out this year.
Well, it was on, like, hella sale, because it was Black Friday deals.
Hell yeah.
But then I fucked up and I missed... Anyways,
it's whatever. Fine. But, wow,
they're not that present. Expensive, actually. They're fine.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's not, like, a full rain jacket. It's just, like, it's a gilet.
A
galette. Yeah.
Oh. Gilet.
Yeah. G-I-L-E-T. Pronounce that however you fucking like yeah. to pronounce it, because I don't know. Yeah.
That's so great, though. Well, I hope that you get it.
In time I hope for you something?
Get... I yeah. hope you get it. Who knows Ouch. When this strike is gonna end?
Ouch, yeah.
I hope you get it one day.
Yeah, but I also respect the strike. Like,
no,
I'm
I
like,
definitely
whatever.
Do.
Yeah, I'm like go off, I'm, yeah. kings and queens.
Honestly, yeah.
Do it. And I don't give a shit, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I just hope that they can resolve, they get what they're asking for.
Yeah.
And that people don't lose the things that they've purchased.
Yes, I agree. Well, where would they be lost to?
That happens sometimes.
Where do things even go?
I don't know. Sometimes, though. I
don't understand.
Sometimes people order things and then it gets lost in transit.
Yeah, that's true. Know? But you can claim it.
Yeah, that's true.
You can be like, I just lost my item and it was like $500.
Yeah. Okay, well, pop off Canada Post employees.
Woo!
We support you.
Jinx, so welcome to this holiday folklore
holiday?
Tales.
Ah!
Yes.
Holiday Sarah, tales. Mine Sarah's... wasn't holiday at all. No, I feel okay. dumb.
No, because yours is coming out on the 15th, so it makes sense.
Is it?
Mine is coming out the weekend right before Christmas.
The 22nd.
The Christian holiday that has been completely butchered into no longer being that, which I kind of love.
Hashtag keep the Christing Christmas.
Shut up, Sarah. No.
We saw that on a
yes, on a billboard.
Was it a billboard?
It was a billboard.
Yeah, we saw it on it.
Holy no. Or was it? It was on
I think
a church
it was
billboard.
Just on a church.
It was
church
at the private
sign.
School.
Yeah.
The like Pacific.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm not.
Listen.
I'm not trying to be rude. I just think that's kind of funny. Like,
yeah, okay, because here's the thing. People are going to celebrate whatever holidays.
Yeah, you do you.
That's right. They're going to celebrate what they want to celebrate, however they want to celebrate it. And guess what? You can't tell people how to celebrate Christmas because it's 2024, okay? And no one's going to celebrate it the way that y'all did back in, like, fucking when Jesus was born.
Yeah. I just think okay, it's, people like, were sleeping kind of on iconic. The,
on
that
dirt.
Is, like... one of the most iconic church board thingies I've seen. Because some of them are really funny.
Yeah.
That's true. A good one.
Well, I don't think they were meaning to be funny.
Well, I took it as comedy.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, I know that they're being serious, but it's also kind of funny.
It is. It's funny.
It's a play
it's funny
on
for
her.
Multiple reasons. Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway.
Listen, just...
do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
We support you. We love you. And we thank you for tuning in to this holiday creep
holiday
episode.
Nighttime, scary, spooky, whatever Jamie's going to tell me. I have no idea.
You know, so we show up and we don't tell each other what we're going to talk about.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you telling me?
So I'm going to tell you about a few different spooky holiday creatures.
Belschnickel?
Who the fuck is Belschnickel?
From the American Office. Do you remember when Dwight dresses up as Belschnickel?
No. What season is that in?
I don't know. It's in one of the later ones. Okay. And then Moe's almost does blackface.
Oh, God.
Because Belschnickel's like, Belschnickel has like a companion.
Kind of like Santa Claus and Zwart Pete.
Yeah.
Can I look up Belschnickel real quick here?
It's so funny. People who know The Office will know what I'm talking about because we looked at it today at work.
Wow. Okay. First of all, I didn't know that it was a real thing or else I would have had it in my list.
Yeah, well, he's not scary. No, he's not mean like...
I guess
he's
so.
Not like Krampus.
Okay. I see. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
He's like Santa.
Oh, okay. Well, my first character.
Yes.
Here we go.
Here we go.
In the snowy mountains of the central and eastern alpines lives a tall, half-goat, half-demon monster. Upon first glance, this monster looks somewhat like a man, but covered in black fur with horns, one grotesque human foot, and one goat foot.
Ew.
And he has a long snake or dragon-like tongue. He carries chains around to symbolize being bound to the devil by the Christian church, and sometimes those chains have bells on them.
Is it Krampus?
Additionally, this monster... Why do you keep saying monster? This monster carries birch branches to swat at children when they are naughty. This monster is, indeed you are correct, Krampus. So Krampus is said to accompany Saint Nicholas on his visits to children during the night of December 5th, which is Krampus night, which is the night before the feast of Saint Nicholas or Sinterklaas on December 6th.
Oh, good thing we were good this year.
Yeah.
December 5th and 6th have well passed.
It's true. And we made it.
We made it out alive.
If Krampus arrives to a home of bad children, he will punish them by beating them with the birch branches that he carries around. He also often carries around a sack or a basket so that after he beats the children, he can carry them off to either drown them, eat them, or bring them to hell.
Yay!
So the word Krampus comes from Bavarian Krampen, meaning dead or rotten, or from German Krump, Krampen, meaning claw. Krampus
claw.
Has...
Claw. That claw.
Remember claw when? Claw and pincher. Yes. Sarah's almost crying.
Wait, I forgot.
Okay, so when we were kids, we would all jump on our parents' king-size bed.
I don't know why I'm crying.
Me and Sarah and Dad, and then Dad would... Or before we jumped on the bed, Dad would yell, claw and pincher. And we'd all jump on the bed and the dog would jump on the bed and we would all just attack each other with a claw and pincher. That's it. That's all of it. This is amazing. Sarah's tears streaming down her face. Oh my God.
I don't know why I'm having this reaction.
Because it's so joyful and beautiful and lovely. And it's such a fun, amazing thing. I know. Sarah's crying a lot.
Oh my God. Aww. What's happening?
Sarah needs a little claw adventure right now moment. It's that thing when you remember something so beautiful from your childhood. And then you're like, I forgot this thing existed. And then you're like, wow, this is an amazing thing. Oh my God.
It's okay. I'm fine. Okay. I can't stop. I'm not.
Obviously, there's something deeper happening here. Wow.
I have to talk to my therapist about this. Oh, that was wild.
In like a happy way, though.
Yeah.
It was like happy. Tears.
Yeah, I'm like laugh crying.
Yeah.
That was weird.
No, I get it. Sometimes you're just overwhelmed with emotion. Anyways. So Krampus. Krampus, claw and pincher.
Not
Krampus.
As nice.
No. Krampus has pre-Christian origins. Pagan traditions in Alpine regions became intertwined with Catholicism, and so people would masquerade as a devilish figure known as Perched, a two-legged humanoid goat with giraffe-like neck, wearing animal furs. They would wear costumes and march in processions known as Perchtenlaufen, which is early versions of Krampus runs, so like Krampus parades.
Oh.
These processions were looked at with suspicion by the Catholic Church and banned by some civil authorities. However, this ban was not effective due to distance and sparse population. Eventually, the Perched was transformed into what we now call Krampus. Then, in the 17th century, Krampus was paired with Sinterklaas as a helper. Since Sinterklaas, St. Nicholas, was a saint, he wasn't allowed to punish children, so Krampus did his bidding for him.
So if you're on the nice list, you get Santa, and if you're on the naughty list,
you get Krampus. Santa's like,
hey, Krampus,
yeah,
come on over, it's your time to shine.
That's right. So along with traditional parades, on December 5th evening, which is Krampusnacht, Krampus appears in the streets, and that's, well, the real Krampus appears in the streets. But I think people also dress up and appear as Krampus.
Do they still do this today?
I think so, yeah.
Dang, I want to go to a Krampus parade.
Yeah, and sometimes Krampus is with Sinterklaas, and sometimes he's alone, and he just visits homes and businesses.
And just prowls at night.
Yeah. So this is kind of an interesting little tidbit that I found as well. But some scholars believe that the way Krampus is portrayed often aligns with anti-Semitic portrayal of Jewish people, especially those in historical Central European artworks.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So this raises questions, of course, of the implicit messages conveyed through Krampus's portrayal.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it's not taken that way today, but that has been like a historical scholarly kind of connection.
Okay.
So just something I thought that I should kind of tie to that. So that's Krampus.
Wow.
So watch out.
Well, he already came and left.
It's true. Yeah. So we were okay.
Phew.
Yep. So the next ones we have, maybe I won't read the title.
Oh, okay. Does it give it away?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'm now going to bring you some Icelandic Christmas folklore.
Okay.
Of three figures that live together as a family in a cave.
Okay.
Gryla.
Yeah.
The Yule Lads.
Oh.
And the Yule Cat.
The Yule Cat?
Yeah. Have you heard of any of these before?
Vaguely, maybe the Yule Lads or Yule Cat sounds familiar.
Okay.
But who knows?
So, deep in the Icelandic woods, the story of Gryla has been told around warm hearths for hundreds of years. It connects back to the medieval time period, but the earliest reference of Gryla's connection to Christmas is in the 1600s.
Okay.
Around this time, poems about Gryla were created, and she was described as a hideous and greedy troll-like crone who wanders between villages and demands charity, often asking for naughty children instead of money.
Wait, I'm so sorry. Okay. Okay. Wait, okay, this is off topic. Guess what was just announced yesterday?
What?
The Witcher 4.
Oh, really?
Yes!
Oh, that's really exciting.
When you said crone, I was like,
that makes sense. That's not off topic at all.
Witcher 4 coming. Yeah. And you play as Ciri.
Wait, what?
Ciri is the playable character.
Whew.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm going to watch so many playthroughs. Well, that's going to be my new life.
I know.
That's so exciting.
I was
exciting.
Like, wait, do I need to play The Witcher 3 again?
Yeah, and honestly, do I need to actually finish it and get past the first part that I could never get past and I just replay every single time, like 20 times over?
Yeah. Even I finish the game. You can do it. I believe in you.
Thank you.
But anyway, well,
I'm just playing little dinky Switch. It's really, really challenging.
I'm so glad that I remembered. Because Montana told me last night, I was so excited because there were video game awards last night. And so that's also when they announce what's coming.
New things, yeah.
Witcher 4. The trailer is so sick. Okay. You have to watch it later.
I'll watch it. Yeah, I'll watch it when we're done recording.
Yeah. Okay. You can
love
continue
that.
Now.
Okay. So, interestingly, before the 17th century, Gryla was never associated with a specific gender. There are even tales of her, or them, that depict them as a hermaphrodite as they rampage through the villages searching for their meals of children.
Oh, they eat kids too. Why do they all eat kids? What's going on here? There's a theme.
I know.
And the theme is, if you're bad, you'll get, you'll get eaten.
Yeah. I know, it's true. I know. Modern depictions of Gryla focus on her role as mother of the Yule Lads, a group of 13 mischievous pranksters who steal from or harass the public. They all have names that convey their favorite method of harassment. For example, Glugagarygir.
Wait.
Let me try again.
Did you not try to spell it? How is...
It's a Scandinavian word. I don't know.
But did you look it up?
No. I didn't look up any pronunciations.
Oh, no.
I'm just trying my best with all.
Dude, if we have any Scandinavian listeners,
I'm so sorry.
Please tell us how you pronounce these.
But I'm apparently not that sorry because I didn't try that hard. I'll admit it. I didn't try that hard. I'm sorry. Okay, I threw this together last minute. Kinda. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Glug-a-g-gear. Glug-a-g-gear.
Glug-a-g-gear.
I'll spell it. G-L-U-G-G-A-G. The A and the E combo. G-I-R. Glug-a-g-gear. Which means window peeper.
But a double G might... be something else. A double G might be something. Maybe.
Well, it means window peeper.
Oh, no.
Here's another one. Bjugnakireknir. I sound like a Sims character. Why do I sound like a Sims character? Bjugnak. No, I got it.
I think you're doing great.
Bjugnakireknir.
That was great.
Rick here.
I think that was good.
You know what it means? Sausage swiper.
Wait, what?
Swiper, no swiping.
Sausage swiper?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, I don't know.
Like the sausage, the kind that you eat? I'm confused.
Yeah, that's right. Can I bring up...
Why are they stealing sausages?
I have to bring this up. The Yule Lads.
Are there... Oh, are you going to show me pictures?
There's like more... Depiction? There's more names.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I should say the Icelandic names anymore. I'm just going to tell you the English translations.
Okay.
There's Sheepcoat Clod. Gully Gawk, Stubby.
What is Gully Gawk?
Okay, I'm gonna read them all to you. Okay, so Sheepcoat Clod harasses sheep, but is impaired by his stiff pig legs.
Oh no! Oh no! No!
Okay. Gully Gawk hides in gullies, waiting for an opportunity. Okay, keep it together, Jamie. Hides in gullies, waiting for an opportunity to sneak into the cowshed and steal milk. Okay.
That's just mean.
Then there's Stubby. Oh. Description. Abnormally short. Steals pans for the food baked to the bottoms and brims. Okay. Spoonlicker. Steals wooden spoons being used for cooking. Extremely thin from malnutrition.
Oh no.
Pot scraper. Steals pots to scrape out the leftovers. Bowl licker. Hides under beds awaiting the wooden food bowls placed on the floor. Door slammer.
Wait.
Oh, this one sounds like Bristol. Enjoy slamming doors, especially during the night, waking up the household.
Oh.
Skyr gobbler. Has a great affinity for skyr, a regional style of yogurt.
Oh.
It is good. You know Skiggies?
Siggies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the brand. Siggies.
Oh, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And then Sausage Swiper. So Sausage Swiper hides in the rafters and snatches sausages that are being smoked.
No!
Window Peeper, a snoop who looks through windows in search of things to steal. Doorway Sniffer has an abnormally large nose and acute sense of smell, which he uses to locate leaf bread. Laugh Abroad. Meat Hook uses a hook to steal meat. And then Candle Beggar follows children to steal their precious candles made of tallow and thus edible. So those are the 13 canonical Yule lads with their descriptions.
Oh my goodness, that was a wild ride.
That was so wild, yep.
So what the hell, dude?
They come into town one by one during the last 13 nights before Yule begins, leaving small gifts and shoes that children have placed on windowsills. If the kids are naughty, they are left rotten potatoes.
Oh no. But if they're so hungry, why are they letting the food rot?
I don't know.
Most of the Yule lads seem like they need to eat more food.
It's true. So, I don't know.
Okay.
They just do. In 1862, author John Arneson wrote a collection of folklore and included the story of the Yule Cat. Wait, are we on to the Yule Cat? Oh, yeah. Okay, now we're on to the Yule Cat.
Okay. I'm lost. Okay, bye, Yule lads.
Yeah, bye, Yule lads.
Wait, so when did they come? What? They come out the 13 days before?
Yeah, so they come, the sheepcoat clod comes on the 12th.
Okay.
Of December, and then they keep showing up until December 24th.
Oh no, it's the second night.
I know, so tonight, gully gawk.
People stay away from the gullies.
People, hide your cows, hide your milk, because Gully Gawk's coming and stealing all your milk around her.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
thing we don't
and
have
And they
cow
stay
milk.
For a long time. Like, they stay for 13 days each. So, like, they come, stay for 13 days, and they leave. So, they each have different arrival and departure dates.
Oh, so they all just come and hang out.
I guess so. I don't really know where they, like, stay. So, okay. Yeah. So, now we are on to the Yule Cat.
Yule Cat!
This cat was an evil beast that, on Christmas Day, would eat those who did not get new clothes for Christmas.
Okay, that's so rude. What if you're poor?
Well, okay, I'll tell you. So, in some versions, though, the Yule Cat would eat their Christmas bit, which was an extra portion of food that were given to residents who lived on farms.
Oh.
Traditionally, this cat was used as a threat and an incentive for farm workers to finish processing wool that was collected the fall before Christmas. Those who helped with this task would get new clothes, and those who didn't would be gobbled up by the Yule Cat. So, over the 1900s, the story of the Yule Cat crops up in a few different places.
Okay.
But there's also other stories about various monsters eating people. Specifically, though, with the Yule Cat, when Johannes Yrkotlum published his poetry collection called Jolin Koma, which translates to Christmas is Coming, he wrote a poem that was called Jólakötturin, and it's about a man-eating monster, which subsequently became part of the Christmas festivities and decorations in Iceland. So that's kind of like the connection of the Yule Cat. And in 2008, the Reykjavik Grapevine, which is an online newspaper, published an article about the Yule Cat as well. The poem mentioned earlier, Jólakötturin, was repeated and expanded upon, and thus the story of the Yule Cat lives on.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay, Yule Cat, pop off.
Yep, so that's Yule Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now another holiday one.
Okay.
Yep, another spooky holiday creature.
I swear I saw you, sorry, I swear I saw your slippers move. Your red ones.
You just made my stomach drop.
Sorry.
It was probably just out of the corner of your eye something.
I know, I think it was like because...
The chair.
Yeah. I know, you guys, the listeners can't see, but we're sitting on Jamie's bed and I'm on the edge and there's a chair beside me where I have my tea
and the chair and has like those rings.
Yeah, maybe I'll take a picture, but you can see Jamie's slippers through them, and I thought I saw them move, but maybe it was just my eyes playing tricks on me.
Well, you know when you like look through something that has bars
and things look like they're moving?
Yeah. But anyway. I believe whatever you saw.
I don't know what I saw.
So next, to begin, we must start with a Germanic goddess that is very that is connected to a very old fairy tale, which was collected by none other than Jacob Grimm from the Brothers Grimm. The fairy tale is Frau Holle, and the goddess's name is Frau Holle. But she is also known by Mother Holle, Mother Hulda, Old Mother Frost, Holle, Hulda, Perchta, Birchta, Berta, or Bertha.
Wow.
She has a lot of names.
That's a lot of variation for one gal.
Yeah. In Scandinavian traditions, Frau Holle is known as the feminine spirit of the woods and plants and honored as the sacred embodiment of the earth and the land itself.
Okay, queen.
In Germanic pre-Christian folklore, Hulda, Hulda, Holle, and Holle were all names that denoted a single being. So Frau Holle is like the goddess.
Yeah.
And then all these others are just like single beings.
Right.
But I mean, it's one person, but there's different names for it.
Yeah.
So Holle is based on Frau Holle and is related to the Germanic figure of Perchta, which we will also chat about later.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the name Hulda.
Okay.
Hulda is a legendary figure whose story has survived well into the 19th century. And her purpose as a goddess is to collect all the children who die as infants.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. Frau Holle's festival is in the middle of winter when people spend much of their time indoors.
Oh.
Just a little side note there. And so Frau Holle's connection to the spirit world. Well, okay, this is where I got confused.
Okay.
Because there's just a lot of, like, Holle, Hulda, Holle, Frau Holle things going on. And so it's either Frau Holle or just Hulda, like this idea that's kind of a placeholder for the goddess.
Right.
Anyway, so let's just say Hulda because I'm still a little bit confused. Okay. And there's a lot of ways that you can take it. But her connection to the spirit world is through the magic of spinning and weaving.
Oh.
Associating her with witchcraft. Through, like, the lens of Catholic German folklore.
Okay.
She was thought to ride with witches on distaffs, which are tools for holding unspun flax spiders. Fibers.
Not the flax spiders.
The flax fibers.
Yeah.
Before being spun into flax.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of funny how confused people get about spinning.
Yeah.
And stuff. But as a spinner, I can really help you dispel some myths, okay?
Great. I'm so excited to learn.
Anyways, well, that's it. That's all you have to learn. But
okay.
Distaffs, they do kind of look like witches' brooms.
Right.
They essentially have, it's like a stick, and then all the flax is on the top of it, and it's like wrapped up. So that you can pull it out to spin it as you're spinning.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Further, Hulda was often connected with Diana in old church documents. Mm. Diana was the leader of women and female nocturnal spirits.
Oh.
In common parlance, they're called Hulden, taken from Hulda, which we know is the same as Holle and Frau Holle. Okay, are you connecting at all, right?
Yeah.
So it's recorded that these female spirits would leave their houses, going out through closed doors in the silence of night, leaving their sleeping husbands behind.
Whoa.
In some alpine regions of Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, people wear masks that impersonate Hulda, Perchta, and the Wild Hunt. It's funny that you brought up The Witcher.
Not the Wild Hunt.
Yeah, have these, like, wild processions through the villages, kind of, like, to honor it.
Cool.
In 1812, this tale of goddess Frau Holle was turned into the Brothers Grimm version in their book Kinder und Hans Märchen. Have you read that book?
No.
That's okay.
It's probably in German.
Yeah, it's probably in German. Well, I think it's just it's like children's fairy tales.
Yeah.
I think it's the one that I got you, no? It's probably connected.
The complete collection of the Grimm's fairy tales?
Yeah.
The complete collection? I doubt it. I doubt that's the same.
Yeah,
but
true,
it's probably in there, actually. I'll take a looky-loo when I get home.
Yeah, try to find Frau Holle.
Okay.
So that was a long beginning just to connect to Spilla Holle and Perchta.
Okay.
First, we're going to go over Spilla Holle. The Spilla Holle is a legendary creature found in German folklore who is a variant of Frau Holle.
Mm-hmm.
She is described as a sallow old woman with short arms and legs. Often, at times, she is directly called a hag.
Well, that's not very nice, now is it?
No. She appears hooded or wearing ragged clothes.
Classic.
And in some versions of her, she's carrying a bag of stinging nettles. But, like, I don't know, she's just trying to make some nettle tea or something, so just leave her alone. She's just trying to be an herbalist. She's just an old woman. She's just trying to
live in the woods.
Yeah, whatever. So, Spilahola is the overseer of spinning taboos. And often used for, like, a threat for children that spin.
Oh.
Now, not all children that spin. There's a few rules.
Okay.
So children, that's one of their jobs, is that they need to be spinning.
Okay.
But there's a couple rules for when they're allowed to spin and when they're not allowed to spin.
Okay.
Over the Zwölften, which is the 12 nights of Christmas, mm-hmm. she goes from house to house to see if children and spinsters are spinning diligently. Looking through the windows or gaps in the wooden walls.
Oh, creepy.
However, if they are caught spinning in the evening or during the nighttime, they are severely punished, like being beaten with stinging nettle. However, they're also punished by being stolen away if they don't finish their spinning.
Okay.
So they can either sword. Be beaten with stinging nettle or stolen or probably eaten, honestly, who knows? Yeah, it's a lose-lose, honestly.
Probably brewed into that nettle tea.
Additionally, nettle will be left in the house to ward the house of misfortune for the coming year.
Oh.
So if you also are spinning at night and they're like, damn, you're caught spinning at night, then they're going to leave nettle in the house and then you're going to have misfortune, I think.
Okay.
I got confused about that part. Like, yeah. I don't know if they're warding off the misfortune or if they're
calling making... it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really understand.
I don't really get it either.
So take it how you will.
Sure.
Yeah. And so the, just so you know as well, like the Zwölften, the 12 days of Christmas that are connected to like paganism and Yule, mm-hmm. those are celebrated from December 25th to January 1st.
Right.
In the night, if the wind is howling in the stove place, parents will warn their children about Spilahola, stating, Die Spilligret kommt, which means the Spilligret comes. Or their parents will say the following rhyme. Here's some bad German for you, okay?
Okay.
Spint, Kinderlin, spint. Die Spillage kommt. Sie guckt zu allen Lochlein rein. Ob das Strandlin word beid fertig sein.
Great.
What this does translates mean? To spin, little children, spin. The spillage come. She peeks through all the little gaps if the little strand will be finished soon. So it's essentially like, hurry your ass up.
Hurry up. She's watching.
She's watching. She's going to come at night. And if you're still spinning, you're going to be punished. If Spilahola arrives and catches them spinning at night, she says, Versach nicht, Worum spinnest du die Sach am Tag nicht? Which means, do not quail, why do you not spin the number at day? Then she kills them or steals them away.
Oh, what the fuck? That's so brutal. It's like, you're still spinning? Dead.
Dead. Just what? Dead. What? Yeah.
But why? I don't understand why they can't spin at night.
It's just tradition, man.
They're just not allowed.
You're not allowed.
Nighttime is for
sleeping. It goes
sleeping.
Against the goddess.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Some other Spilahola tricks. She will scare people to death or walk around the forest.
That just is spookily. So mean.
I know.
The hell? She's like, you're going to call me a hag? Watch this.
Yeah.
I'll be a hag. I'm going to scare you to death. Yeah. I'll be a hag if that's what you want me to be.
She also causes snow. And I didn't mention this earlier, but Frau Hola is known, like in the Brothers Grimm's fairy tale, she's known to cause snowfall happen. And it's her like shaking her bed or her pillow cases. Oh, and then like beautiful white feathers fall down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So same with Spilahola. When Spilahola shakes her bed, then it will snow.
Okay.
You might be thinking, well, where does Spilahola exist or live?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
Her home lies beneath a rock in the woods known as the Spilalutschinstein. Which is Spilaluch's stone.
Oh.
At night, 7 lights can be seen above this stone.
Oh.
That's all. Similar to Spilahola is Perchta.
Okay.
Perchta is our last figure for the night. Okay. Once known as a goddess in Alpine paganism in Upper German, Austrian, and Slovenian regions of the Alps.
Okay.
Perchta, which means the bright one, is probably related to the name Berchtentag, which is the Feast of the Epiphany.
Okay.
So it's essentially just all of these traditions, it's all connected, you know, blah, blah, blah. Perchta dwells at the bottom of a well, rides a wagon, and first taught the craft of making linen from flax. So she also is connected to spinning.
Okay.
In old descriptions, Perchta would appear as beautiful and white as snow, like her name, or as elderly and haggard. She had one large foot, which perhaps symbolized her being a higher being who could shapeshift into animal form.
Apparently. I thought it just meant she'd be spinning all the time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, big. It's true. This foot also connects to a spinning woman's splay foot that works the treadle on the spinning wheel.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it. At first, Perchta was the upholder of cultural taboos such as prohibition against spinning on holidays, like we talked about.
Uh-huh.
In Bavaria and Austria, Perchta was known to roam the countryside at midwinter, entering homes during the 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany. Especially on the 12th night, so that's the Yule days.
Right.
And she knew whether children and young servants had behaved well and worked hard all year.
Oh.
If they did, they could at times find a silver coin the next day in a shoe or a pail. If they hadn't, she would slit their bellies open, remove their stomachs and guts, stuff the hole with straw and pebbles.
Stuff their bodies?
Yeah. And she would also do this if they ate something on the night of her feast day that wasn't the traditional fish and gruel.
Oh, no. So, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. What? I thought she was going to be okay. And then, but if you piss her off, she just slices you open?
Yeah. And that's all I have written. So that's Perchta.
Oh my God, that's so scary. I know. I'm so scared.
It's okay.
What if just they come and get me?
Don't spin at night.
Okay, I don't spin.
Between the 25th and the 1st. Am I safe? Yeah, you're safe. I might not be.
You are not. You always spin at night.
I know.
You better watch out.
You better not cry.
You better not pout.
I'm telling you why. Spilahola and Perchta are coming to slit open your bellies and stuff you with straw and pebbles.
Okay.
So on that note.
Wow.
We thank you so much for joining us this holiday season.
Yeah, thank you.
Or not, if you don't care. Maybe those were just for some fun stories for you to listen to.
Maybe those were fun stories for you to listen to. Maybe you have vacation time right now for the holidays. And if you do, I hope you're having a good time off.
Yeah, I hope that you're laying on a beach somewhere and it's warm for you.
Yeah, and the water's like, whoosh.
And like the that. Wind is like, whoa. And a big hurricane comes. Oh, no. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I got a little carried away there. Well, thank you everyone for listening.
That was so cool.
Yeah, we might end up taking a week off.
Yeah, holiday break maybe.
Yeah, there might be a break in episodes. There might not. You know, we'll see.
Guess you'll find out as we find out.
That's right.
Because that's how we roll here at Ghoul Society.
That's correct. And thank you for listening.
Yes. And if you have any questions, comments, or have your own spooky holiday stories you want to share with us, you can email us at ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and send us a DM at Ghoul Society Pod. You can also find any trigger warnings and any of our resources in the show notes of each episode. And thank you.
Thank you. I think that's everything.
Okay.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Bye.
Bye. I don't think I can. What's wrong over there?
Just try to crack my back.
Oh, can you pass me the transcript again?
Oh, yeah.
We are recording, by the way.